We'll start in a few seconds. Okay, let's get going. I was taking a walk through the other conference rooms, and I noticed a lot of empty chairs. So I'm assuming you had a good party last night. And it's 8:30 on a Friday. I'm Ian Ferreira. I'm an engineering manager in Microsoft Advertising Division, and I kind of own the Ads and Apps or Windows 8 advertising solution. And this session is basically going to show you how to monetize your Windows 8 apps with advertising. And so in terms of the agenda, we're going to look at the overall opportunity, which is, I'm assuming, why you guys are here. For the folks that haven't built ads and apps before, I'm going to give a quick introduction to Advertising 101. We're going to look at some best practices or considerations for things you keep in mind when you do ad-funded applications. And then I'm going to show you how to integrate the Microsoft Advertising SDK and do two demos. One demo will be examples of ad experiences that you can expect to see in your app. And the other will be a demo of actually how to integrate our SDK, which I believe they stole my thunder in another session. So I have to go and speak to somebody about that. But just so I can get a sense for the room, who has built an app that integrated an ad SDK? Okay, so it's about half. That's what I expected. Okay. So let's start with the three trends that are impacting our industry. The first trend is around how consumers are spending their time. And so in June 11, 2011, for the first time, consumers started spending more time in apps than in browse. And so you guys are in the app session, so that's good news for you. If you were in the browse session, that's probably not some good news. So you can see that it switched in June, and it's even increasing as we speak. In December, it was up to 94 minutes versus 72. So that's all goodness. The second major trend is around ad spending. And what you can see is that in most cases, the advertiser allocation of their spend, how much money they apply to each of these media channels, is more or less in tune or aligned with how much time people spend on these channels, except for two anomalies. The one is around print. You can see there's a ton of advertising spend still flowing through print, but the usage, the time spent in the print media channel is decreased. And then the other, obviously, outlier is tablets, where you have the reverse phenomena. And these are actually very well aligned, given that print, magazine, lean-back content, consumption experience is exactly what tablets are optimized to do. So that's a great opportunity to shift spend over. The third is around monetization models. So you can see that there are two monetization models that are trending up, which are in-app purchases, kind of the freemium model, and advertising. Subscription and paid is trending down. And that's good news because as the overall supply pool of apps, the reach, if an advertiser is deciding how am I going to spend my millions, they want to go where the audience is. So the more apps that are ad-funded, the larger the combination, the overall supply pool is. And this will help, to the prior point, kind of move that spend over into ads and apps. So the size of the opportunity. All up, in 2015, advertising is a $600 billion industry. It's up, it's pretty significant. If you zoom into the online portion of that, the first one includes, obviously, TV, print. If you zoom in onto the online portion, it gets to $150 billion. If you zoom in into online to what portion is in-app advertising, then you had $10 billion. And the good news is you can see that the shift is already happening. The growth in all-up is 5%, the growth in online is 25%, and the growth in in-app is 41%. So you can see already a shift in advertisers and where they want to spend their money. And just those that haven't figured it out, whatever dollars advertisers spend, that's what you as a publisher collect. Okay, so a quick intro for advertising. I apologize for the folks that are familiar with this, but there are three major entities. There's the advertiser or marketer. They typically pay to get their brand or message in front of consumers. There's the publisher or the developer, that's you folks, and you own that relationship with the consumer or user. So you've built an app, users are using your app, and so you have that relationship with them. And then obviously the user. And real simple, advertiser wants to reach the user with a message, and you're the channel in between that allows them to do that. There's three pricing models that are most common, CPM, CPC, and CPA. CPM is cost per impression. That means the advertiser is willing to pay, let's say, $2 CPM. Means if they can show their ad to a user 1,000 times, they'll pay you $2. Cost per click, obviously, they're willing to pay when someone clicks on an ad. And then cost per action is when they're willing to pay when someone takes a specific action. In most cases in ads and apps, that action is installing an application. So typically, this would be a CPI, cost per install. And then there's different types of ad products. So you have banner ads, which typically have a CPM range of 50 cents to 2 bucks. You have text ads that usually come out of search engines and search demand. They typically range about 50 cents to $1.50. And then you have rich ads. These are video experiences, any kind of rich ad experience like image carousels, galleries, sensory experiences, and they typically have a higher premium CPM. Okay, so let's get down to some of the quote-unquote best practices. The first and probably one of the biggest tips I can give you is if you've decided you're going to build an ad-funded app, then give your designers a dummy ad and design your app around that ad placement. It's really important to give a premium experience to consumers that the ad is treated as content. So I'll show you a couple of examples. In the stub example, you can see that the ad was treated as content. It just flows into the other content. You have the article and phones, and then you have an ad, and the content just seamlessly flows together. Or if you're building a split layout application, make sure to design for that. It really makes for a much more premium experience if the ads are designed into the app from the get-go. The next kind of tip is with Windows 8, we have a really robust design language. And so take advantage of it. It turns out some of them work really well, especially the grid UI elements and the notion of panoramas. So again, if you look at these examples, what the Bing apps did really well is they put a 300 by 600 anchor ad at the end of their panel. So as you're swiping through the content, there's an ad at the end. It fits in very nicely. You can see another example of a grid layout. Again, you can replace some of the content tiles with ads. There's ad sizes, which we'll talk about in a minute, that work really well in that case. The third tip is, this is kind of a rookie mistake, but don't expect there to always be an ad. There's hardly any ad provider that will have 100% fill rate. So the folks that are new to this is you can have an SDK integrated. It'll make an ad call. There won't be an ad. Usually the SDKs will come back to you and say there's no ad. So make sure you handle that. And you handle that both from a coding point of view and from a design point of view. So what works best is if you're building an application that has some sort of flow layout, put the ad element at the end of that. That way, if you don't have an ad, you don't have to relay out, and there's no jarring UI experience for the consumers. A lot of folks also sometimes put a background box around the ad, and then when there's no ad, there's this empty box that shows up. So make sure you design for that edge case. Okay, so when you're selecting an ad provider, make sure you select someone that's going to give you safe ads and quality ad experiences. You do not want the ad experiences to detract from your application's overall experience. And as we've seen, when we built our SDK, especially in WWA apps, it's very easy for an SDK or an ad to actually crash your app. So you don't want that to happen. And then it's going to be hard for you to explain what happened to users. So some of the don'ts. This is kind of the other side of the coin, the bolt-on advertising. This is typically what happens. You hire a design company or have your designers design the app, and then you go into engineering and you go, oh, I want to add an ad. And so you find an open space and you just kind of add an ad. It really doesn't, it's noticeable. and it doesn't, it's not the best interest for if your application kind of looks a little sketchy. Don't over-advertise. This is the other examples. These are not real examples, but we've seen examples of this with real apps. Don't put as many ad SDKs on your app as possible. I know the temptation is there, but it is distracting from a consumer experience point of view. The other issue that we've seen is the notion of stacking. And so we've seen applications that kind of stack two 250 to 250 ads on top of each other instead of using a 300 by 600 ad. And even if you were hoping the ads will be the same or hoping the ads will be different, we can't guarantee it, and neither of them look really well. So that's something else to consider. And make sure you use the right ad sizes. This is the notion of if you've attended advertising conferences, they talk to this concept as ads as punishment. Don't distract users with advertising from their core goal. So, oh, I was just about to sign up, bam, I need to look at an ad. And pre-rolls, which we all do is an example of this. Oh, I'm going to watch a video, bam, now I need to watch an ad. So try and limit this as much as possible. Again, users are very fickle. They'll jump from your app to another app in a heartbeat. So make sure you give them the best possible experience you can, while making money, obviously. Okay, and then just another riff on some of the other examples we've seen. There's cases on competitive platforms, I'm not going to say which, where SDKs have actually drained their battery lives by a third. So you take one app without ads, take the same app with ads, and the battery life goes down to about a third of the example without ads. So again, make sure in your choice of ad provider, pick somebody that cares about that. Okay, so what is the Microsoft advertising difference? We like to differentiate in three areas. The first is around monetizing your app. We know, obviously, for developers, yield is one of the key, if not the key, driver. And so what we've done is we've went after the top 500 advertisers. And we wanted to make sure that you can get paid out in as many markets as possible in your local currency. And this is kind of a bleed into the next point, but going after the top 500 experiences and keeping in mind the previous point about which ad experiences has the higher CPM, we focus really on high immersive engaging experiences. So what you'll see from us is a lot of rich ad experiences. We figured out how to make those scale to advertisers so their cost isn't increased for doing these ads. And obviously because they are rich, they'll be paying a premium CPM for those. And the ads are also safe and secure. All our ads is first-party code, so we don't allow any advertisers to write code, or even worse, third-party redirects to other ad networks where you don't know what you're going to get. So you can rest assured that the ads will be safe, there'll be high-quality immersive experience, and there'll be top 500 advertisers. You'll see premium brands. You're not going to see, that's an example I can use, 1-800-LOWER-MY-BILLS, for example. And then we wanted to make sure that it's easy to integrate the SDK. I know some of you probably building XAML apps don't necessarily agree, and we'll talk about that. But we tried to make this as easy as possible with integration in Visual Studio and essentially with a one-line integration model. It's really seamless to integrate the SDK. In terms of coverage, we'll have expanding global coverage with GA. We're in 10 consumer markets. There's two markets. We're still figuring out some kinks, but we can say we're in 10 consumer markets and 30-plus developer markets. So these are the actual markets. What that means is if you're a developer sitting in any of the developer markets, you can go ahead and build an app, target one of the 10 consumer markets, and get paid in your local currency. Does everybody understand that? And the reason we're started with 10 is we're kind of following the deployment footprint of Windows, right? So as there's enough critical mass of Windows 8 in a market, it becomes compelling for advertisers, and so then we enter that market. It doesn't make sense to just support all markets if we don't believe there's enough Windows 8 traction. So we're kind of following that curve of Windows 8, and this will keep expanding as Windows 8 adoption keeps expanding. We also build ad sizes from scratch. So instead of saying, are we just going to take the IAB standard ads and just kind of continue with them? We actually worked with Windows designers to come up with ad sizes that fit really well into the Windows design language. And so if you go file new grid application, those grid cells are 252 by 252. And so we have a 250 by 250 ad that fits really well in those grid cells. We also have a 250 by 125. That's a kind of a half cell that works well too. If you want to do kind of a row span, you can do a 250 by 510, a little bigger ad. If you're targeting a specific mobile device, i.e. Surface, you can do a 1366 by 66 size that runs at the bottom of the application. Those look pretty well too. I'll show you examples of those. And then for kind of the panorama experience where you kind of have a big panorama with content that people can swipe through, there's a 790 by 590 ad that advertisers really like because it's nice big real estate that you can target. And also for snap mode applications, we have a 292 by 60 ad size. And that works well. If your app goes in snap mode, you can switch around to an ad size that is congruent with the real estate you have.
Do you get more money for a larger ad?
Yeah. So, yeah, the rough rule of thumb is the advertisers kind of measure the value of how big the ad is. And you know, usually I would be very nervous about a big ad real estate if I don't know the quality of the advertising, because you don't want a big teeth whitening ad. But with us, at least you know it's the top 500 advertisers. And if you guys have seen our ads on apps already, you can see the type of ads experiences we're going for. And so with that, I'm going to show you a quick demo. Okay, so this is our demo reel app, for example. So two things to look at. One is obviously look at the ad experiences. This is what you can expect to see in your app. There's no work needed for you to see these. They'll just start showing up in your app. And then also look at where the ads are placed. So two things to look at. Okay, so this one is a Xbox Live. You guys have probably used this app before. And what we have here is we have a 300 by 250 ad size. You can see it fits in very seamlessly. You almost have to kind of look where the ad is. And this is the what you'll see a lot running right now. This is our tap to video experience. And for those of you who have been with us since technical preview, you're probably sick of Gears of War 3. We use this example a lot, but this is just to showcase that experience. Another example that we had a screenshot before, if you're building a grid type layout, it's really useful to put one of the slides and make that an ad. This experience you'll also be familiar with. It's the Bing homepage experience. It's called the Hotspot ad format. And you can see it has the same kind of engaging elements that advertisers can go and highlight specific areas of the ad, and those can deep link to a catalog. We have an ad format which we call the tile format. This has the same animation curves that you would see on your Windows phone. And so you can use those too because they look pretty cool. They look really cool. They animate just like a tile, and they fit in really nicely with kind of a content stream application. Again, Gears of War. This is our tap to full screen image video. So this allows the advertiser to give us a background image asset as well as a video. Just show you real quick. So the video plays inline. This is one of the 790 by 590s that were questioned earlier. And what the format that works really well here is not just a typical banner format, but we can actually do in-banner video. And so someone can be swiping over the content of your app. They see this ad, they click play, and they can get to watch a movie, a video clip right inside the ad unit. And advertisers love this, which means it's good for you. This is what text ads will look like. So we went back and said, okay, what will a text ad look like in the new Windows design language? So we didn't do like what you see on the web where they just stack three text ads on top of each other. We actually went and designed it to be more congruent with the Windows design language. This is another kind of rich ad experience. It's called the Image Gallery. This is really premium for advertisers. It allows them to provide multiple assets. And as a user, you can swipe through these. You can jump to a specific asset using the thumbnail. And again, some of these can actually be video elements.
In 1957, this car was presented and launched. The 500.
Again, no work on your side. Once you've integrated the SDK, these experiences will just start showing up in your applications.
And a particular
this is an example. We spoke earlier about the CPA model. We also allow advertisers to link directly to the store. So you can do that and jump and link directly to the store. This is the bottom banner we spoke about, the 1366 by 66 size. Sits nicely at the bottom of an application. We have two variants, one that when the user taps on, plays a video. And then another example, which I'll show in a bit, that just jumps to full screen. This is another 728 by 90 ad size that you've seen a screenshot before. Again, video ads, very popular. Here's the other bottom banner. So this just allows the advertiser to provide a bigger set of images, which they love, again, to the earlier question about the size of the creative. What's nice about all of these, I don't know if you've noticed, but we keep the user within your application. So the first click experience is usually within your application. They can do a lot of interaction just within your app. And then that if we need to, we then deep link to the web or to another app. And the good news about that is that we don't navigate people away from your application. So I need to do some manipulation here. So these are sensory ads. See if that works. Okay. So these ads basically take advantage of some of the device capabilities. And so you can see by tilting the device, the ad is actually changing. And it actually works better in full screen mode. If my Wi-Fi is working. Okay, there we go. So you can see that I can tilt the device and then go from Seattle, California. So it's pretty cool. Advertisers love this. And again, this is all premium experiences that means high yield for you guys. There's another example which is kind of fun to play with. I can use tilt to have this guy go through his skateboard motions. Again, going to full screen is a little more fun, have more resolution. Wait. Let's see if the Wi-Fi works. Okay, we'll get back to that one. It's basically, it just goes into a full screen experience, and you can do the same thing where you can kind of do practice moves. And then another common use case that we've seen is in these photo type viewer apps where you're kind of panning between photos. It's really easy to put a 160 by 600 ad in between those. And it creates a lot of impressions, and it comes across as natural. It's not this forced ad experience. So you just kind of swipe through, and you get more impressions. Okay, so integrating the SDK. I know this is probably the longest you guys had to wait before you can get to code in a build session, so I apologize for that. But just for folks that are new to this, how this works is you would go to Dev Center. There's a section on tools and SDKs. You can link to our SDK from there. You would go and download the MSA SDK. You'd go to our portal called Pub Center. This is where you would provision your application, tell us about your categories for your app. You'll tell us about your ad sizes, the ads that you want to place in your app, and we'll give you back a few identifiers that you then go into Visual Studio and integrate. When you've done your app, you go and publish it to the store. And then your app goes live, people start downloading, and now the burning question is, how much money have you made? So if you have a subscription-based app, you'll get those numbers from the store. If you have an ad-funded app, you go to PubCenter, and you can start to see the money tick along, and it's a fabulous thing, trust me, to see that happening. One of the most use cases of that portal is the reporting page, and people literally sit and watch that to see kind of the revenue ticking. Don't blame them. Okay, so just real quick, in terms of what the code actually looks like, if you're building a XAML app, it's one UI element that you include, very simple, and I'll show you this this live. And if you're building an HTML5 app, very similar. You have one reference to our JavaScript file, and then you have this div element that you include in your HTML layout wherever you want the ad to show up. So let me show you guys that, and I've apparently this was shared in another session, so it's not going to be something you haven't seen, but nevertheless. Okay, so we're going to go. So what I did is, let me just walk you through this. You go to the Windows Dev Center. There's a section that has all the tools and SDKs. You scroll to the bottom, you can see a link to our SDK. That will take you to the Windows 8advertising.com, and from here you can link to the MSDN content, as well as link to the actual download of the SDK. And then once you've gone through the PubCenter sign-up process, you'll end up with a screen that looks like this, where we'll give you your app ID, which is a GUID that you'll integrate in your SDK, and then we'll give you an ad unit ID for every ad that you've created and defined in PubCenter. So let's see. I got file, new project. Let me start with the easier one. Start with JavaScript, Windows Store. I'm just going to create a blank application. Can you guys see this okay? Yep. And then you basically have this empty shell. I'm going to go into references and add reference. Now, if you install the SDK, it will show up as an extension. I'm going to go and just check the box. And then this shows up here. I'm going to drag this guy over. Oops. And drag this guy over to add a reference. So now I have a reference to the SDK. And then I'm just going to cheat. Sorry. And grab this div tag. Drop that in there. And basically, you can see here you have the app ID, which is a number, the GUID that you get out of PubCenter. And you have the ad unit ID, which is a unique identifier for every ad inside your app. And then drumbeat. Let's see. And there you go. So that's pretty much how hard it is to integrate our SDK, and you can start getting ads.
How much did you just make for that one?
Oh, well, let's see how long I keep it up. So it's per thousand of impressions. So you really need scale, but it does add up. You'll be surprised. So if I keep this running for a bit, I can start making some money, but something feels wrong about that. Okay, so that's pretty much as easy on the WWA side. On the XAML side, it's easier and harder, and we'll speak about that in a minute. So I'm just going to go file, close solution. Same thing, just going to add reference. Pick the Microsoft SDK extension. So launch the designer. So we have drag and drop enabled, so you have the ad control show up in your toolbar. I'm going to drag that over. And then I'm just going to grab a application ID. Make sure I don't waste any impressions. Sorry. And let's see if that works. Yay. Okay, cool. So that's how easy it is to integrate the SDK for a basic applications. One line of code, you go in provisioning, and from this point, you can start seeing all kinds of ad experiences just show up in your app. You don't have to do extra work for some of those cool ad experiences. It'll just work. So known issues. Question. No, so the question is, can I use ad rotators? Can I rotate between SDKs? You can, obviously, but you won't get these experiences. These experiences are a feature, if you will, of our SDK. And so it's very common for folks that don't know for developers to address that full rate issue by rotating out of SDK. So typically you have one SDK. If it doesn't have ads, it'll fire an event. And you activate another SDK behind that and see if that has ads. But those ad experiences are a function of our SDK.
Another question?
Sure.
Can we run on the same app, for instance, AdFlex SDK and your SDK?
The question is, can I run our SDK with?
If we can run multiple, do you know AdFlex?
Yeah.
Okay, if I can have on the same page, for instance, an ad from AdFlex and another ad from you guys.
It should work. I haven't tested those two combinations. Question?
I'm curious in knowing any like statistics on how applications that advertise do on average?
In terms of the yield?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I can't disclose numbers. I think if you look at what folks are doing on Windows Phone, there's a few applications. Obviously, it's a function of your application and its usage, but there are people making sizable take-homes from apps, and that's on Windows Phone. So Windows 8 will have much broader reach, obviously, and it has more premium in terms of the experiences. If you've built an app, I'll start looking at the CPMs, and you can do the math from that. If you kind of look at what are the CPMs you're starting to see, and then try and forecast your usage of your app, you should be able to calculate that.
Thanks.
It is sizable. Question? Sorry.
How much is there in common between this platform and the one on Windows Phone that I reuse as it's been?
The question is there how much commonality is between the Windows 8 ad solution and the Windows Phone ad solution, and unfortunately not a lot. The programming model is very similar. The portal that you go to, PubCenter, is very similar. But because the platforms are still not 100% the same, we have different SDKs. And Windows also has two programming models, right? You have the XAML one, which is very similar to the phone, and then you have the WWA, which is very dissimilar to the phone. We are working, though, to light up some of these ad experiences on Windows Phone, these kind of rich ad experiences. Question in the back?
Yeah. As a developer, do you have any level of control over what advertisers get tied to your product if you have concerns due to geographical, political, mm-hmm. or social disagreements?
Yes. So the question is, as a developer, do I have control on what kind of advertising shows up on my app? And the answer is yes. First, in your choice of ad provider, obviously every ad provider has what's called a cap policy, which is kind of the creative acceptance policy. So that's kind of the dial tone of this, like Microsoft Advertising. You will never see these class of ads. But then on top of that, there's features like exclusions, which we're actually going to be releasing soon in PubCenter, which will allow you to say, I don't want advertising from these type of categories of ads. And so that's one way you can manage that. Another question?
Along the same vein, how do ads affect your age
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a flurry that we had recently. So our SDK is 12 plus, and the reason for that is there's COPPA laws that make it very difficult to advertise to children. And so the safest is just to say that we're 12 plus. I think it's reasonable to believe that as we start getting better and better, as the Windows 8 demand grows, that we can potentially lower that when we have enough advertising that we can go and say, okay, these apps are, you know, below 12. And then we can take the time to kind of filter the advertisers to make sure that we're still COPPA compliant. Does that answer your question? Okay. The question is, can you run direct sold through our SDK? Which platform are you using? No, what ad platform are you using your direct sold? Do you have an in-house ad server?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are working on a program to enable other pub ad servers to serve through our SDK. And that will give you a bunch of benefits. Obviously, you can keep using your incumbent tool for direct sales, but you can take advantage of these new ad experiences. So there will be a creative tool that they can use to create these ad experiences, and then they can pipe through our SDK to serve those. Question?
About the 12 plus, I have a bunch of my free apps out there.
Yep.
Ads integrated there without. I just submitted a new one and it got rejected for the age thing, so I moved it up to 7 because they didn't give any details. So
yeah.
Did
it go through?
I just resubmitted last night. Basically, what you're saying is I should try to not resubmit any of my apps.
Yeah, if you got through, you fell through the cracks. Yeah, obviously you have to do the right thing. I think we're all learning. I think, you know, this is a very tricky thing. You know, we're mostly COPPA compliant, but we didn't want to take the risk, so we just said 12 plus. For is your apps targeted towards kids, or did you just want to grab a broad range?
It's a word search application, so it communicates a lot of times. My users are adults that are over
5, but it, you wanted to reach, exactly. I would recommend you submit with 12 plus. I don't know how much that will impact the usage of your app. I mean, you'll be able to do analytics on your app in the store and see how many people fall below that, and then get a range. But yeah, it'll be safest to resubmit with 12 plus. I know a lot of developers aren't necessarily targeting kids, but they just wanted to broaden the range because maybe kids might play with it. Yeah, that's fairly common. Question. For the developer, it's seamless to you. Like, this is just the way that we instrument and the way that we sell the advertising. So you don't have to do any work as a developer. If you have the SDK, you know, we could have sold ads on a CPM basis, or we could have sold it on CPC or CPA. Yeah, so for you, you don't change anything. Yeah, it's all done on the back end. Question in the back? If you're disconnected, so we work online only, and there's a bunch of reasons for that. Most of the apps that we've seen at least require some footprint in the cloud. Some of them have a caching solution. There's a lot of intricacies when you do offline ad serving about how you report the impressions back to advertisers. If an advertiser said, hey, I only want you to show my ads 3 times, and you're offline and we showed the ad 3 times, now what do we do? Because we go and go fetch new ads. So it's foreseeable that we might go there if we see a need for offline ad serving, but right now it's online only. So you would get an error. The SDK will try and fetch an ad, and it'll give you an error, in which case you have to solve for the no ad use case.
Okay, so you have to solve that yourself?
Yeah. The SDK will throw an error and say no ad, and then you have to do whatever you want to do. Question, a friend?
So it's more something I'd like to see.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see also the ability to have nonprofits do advertising on apps,
mm-hmm.
where the developer doesn't get paid per impression, but when the app is purchased, a portion of that goes to the nonprofit.
Okay, that's an interesting use case.
I'm sorry, I was just going to say with the idea being that it would encourage more purchases because a person could feel like they're supporting like this cause at the same time that they're buying the software.
Yeah. So we do PSA ads, but we don't have that rev share model. That's very interesting. Thanks for that. Yeah. Question?
Does click-through rate still impact eCPM in Windows 8?
Does click-through rates impact the eCPM? Yes, but not the CPM. So eCPM is kind of a normalized cost across different pricing models, where CPM is a raw cost. So you will still get paid on a CPM basis. If the ads are sold CPM. But when the advertiser does their all-up ROI analysis, they will look at click-through rates. The click-through rates we have seen are phenomenal. And it's partly because we have these really good experiences. So people are enticed to click and to look at it. They are visually compelling. Question?
Can you tell us more about the Xamarin?
Yeah. Thanks for asking questions. So I don't have to talk about this. Okay. So here's the thing. There's a thing. We internally use the WebView control in our XAML SDK, and the WebView control does not use the same rendering pipeline than other XAML UI elements. So what this does is a couple of things. One is there's an airspace issue. So the WebView control is always ZNX max in, so it's always on top of everything, and we were joking saying this is not our ominous way to make sure we always show our ads. It is a bug in the platform. And so if you have the SDK and you have edges or menus that try and go over it, it'll just shine through anything.
What about the OS? Everything.
It shines through everything. So, rest. Fear not, there's a workaround. And then there's a scrolling issue, which is the same root cause. When you have a Panner app and you're kind of scrolling, you'll see that the SDK falls behind and tries to catch up. That, again, is because of the different rendering engines. So it's not... It's going through a different rendering pipeline, so it's not in sync as it should be. So that's the root cause, and we're working with the platform team to get that fixed. But we did expose a few workarounds. They work, but it's pretty tricky. So the official guidance from the platform team is to switch a WebView control into something called a WebView brush. And this basically turns the WebView control from an interactive HTML5 canvas into a screenshot. And so it literally just turns it into an image. And so when you do the suspend resume API, if you call suspend, we will convert the WebView control internally into a WebView brush. And so then it behaves much faster in terms of performance, but then there's no animation or interactivity. And then when you're done with your scrolling, or if you're done with an element over it, you call resume, in which case the animations and stuff start picking up again. There's also a performance scrolling property which does the same. Now, it sounds great, except for developer to know when something is covering the SDK is fairly hard, as we found out, because we wanted to do this internally for you guys, but it's really hard to know when something's covering a UI element. There's no API in Windows Runtime we can ask. And so I've seen examples of apps that are 1,200 lines of code just to manage when something, the airspace issue. So we are working on this, like I said, both on the platform side, but also trying to do this internally for you guys so that you don't have to worry about this. And so we haven't stopped. We're actively working on this problem. But I just wanted to make you aware. You saw how easy it was to just integrate the SDK. If you have an app that has a lot of movement, there's a lot of layering, you're going to run into this issue. So I just want to give you a heads up. Question?
I'm having a problem where when the app refreshes, it stays
focused. Yeah.
Do you have any
requirements for that? Yeah, so there's an enabled flag that you can set on the control that helps with that. Are you using the latest SDK? Okay. Then use the enabled flag. By the way, if you guys, there's a lot of these issues, thanks to the developer community, have been brought up and answered by peers. If you go to our forum, that's a common question, the UI focus. Originally, there was a bug in the platform that caused that. That was resolved, but now there's still an issue when it refreshes, it steals the focus. Again, it's all thanks to the WebView control. So what's next? We're going to obviously keep expanding our consumer markets, like I mentioned earlier, as the growth of Windows 8 picks up in markets and it becomes compelling for advertisers to want to advertise in those markets, we will expand our consumer markets. So you'll be able to publish your app into more markets and get paid for the ad impressions. We're also going to be continuously working on new ad experiences. I've showed you, I think we have 12 now. There's three more that we just released that I couldn't get into the demo. But, you know, we're going to stay on this high-quality, immersive ad experience mission. We believe that that's the new norm. Consumers don't want the old ads that you've seen on the web. They don't want the old boring brands and knee joint treatments and blah, blah, blah. They want quality brands. They want compelling experiences. They're in a really rich experience on Windows 8, and so they want the ads to be accretive to that. We're going to do more integration with the development tools, try and make it even easier for you, not have to go and download the SDK, try and make it the reporting and the portal aspects more integrated. Again, trying to make it as seamless as possible. It's kind of broken today that you go to one place to look at your subscription monetization, and then you have to go to another place to look at your ad monetization. You'll also be getting two checks today, for those of you that don't know. One from the Windows App Store, Windows Store, and one from PubCenter. We're going to snap to a quarterly cadence for the SDK. Question?
One thing I would like to see is...
Sure.
I'm in Mexico, and so my payout is in pesos.
Yep.
Except for every other advertiser I use, like all my reports are in dollars. But now I notice on PubCenter, my reports are in pesos, which is kind of frustrating.
And we thought we were doing you a favor. Okay, so that's fair. So you want it actually to be in dollars? So not your local currency, yeah. Okay, I'll take that feedback. We thought we were doing it in the local currency because that's what you'd expect. So it's interesting to see the edge cases where that's actually not what you would expect. Sure, so if you guys, I'll give you my email address. You can fire away with asks. I mean, a lot of the stuff we've done is based on feedback. This is important to you guys. You saw the trends. Advertising is trending up. Advertising spend is trending up, so you need to kind of figure out how to monetize your app with ads and not kind of distract. So we are shaping this product with you, so send me email with suggestions. There was a question.
I was just going to reinforce that a lot of us in the industry have been used to receiving U.S. dollars and have U.S. dollar accounts set up, so some of us would prefer to have U.S. dollar, not just reports, but also...
payout?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know. Again, if you can, I'll show you my email. You can send me an email with that. We can look at that as a feature. So as I was saying, we're going to go to a quarterly cadence. We kind of had an ad hoc cadence that was kind of roughly following the Windows 8, RPCP, blah, blah, blah. And so we're going to snap to a quarterly cadence and makes it easier for you guys to kind of predict the updates and make sure you can integrate the newest SDKs. And then, like I said before, are we actively working the XAML issue? It's causing me sleepless nights because I know that it's pretty hard for you guys, and it wasn't intended to make this as hard. But we keep working that both on the platform and on our side. Question?
Are you actively working the COPPA issue as well?
The what?
The COPPA issue. So that
That I think that's just going to be a function of scale. If we said, okay, we're going to filter all the advertising that's COPPA compliant, which means it's okay for kids below 12, we want to make sure that that's a big enough pool so that you don't end up saying, okay, I have a 3-plus app, but now I can only run 5 advertisers. It'll actually hurt you more than it helps you. So once we have enough demand in the below 12 ratio, we could look at dropping it. Any other questions? Never heard of that. Yeah, so here's a funny story. When we started with that, we actually used the light dismiss UI behavior. And it turns out it's so light that people don't notice it. And so you saw the demos I have. We're actually adding a back button and getting rid of. The way you dismiss, by the way, is you tap on the transparent bands. Lesson learned, people don't even discover that. And so the new update of the SDK will address that first and foremost. And then hopefully we can try and make the XAML issue go away as well. In the back?
Can you provide us with a
Yes, it's actually, so you're asking about a privacy policy. So in your EULA of the SDK, there's a snippet that you need to put in your privacy policy for those that didn't read the EULA, which I'm sure most don't. So that's a so read the EULA, but yeah, there's a specific section that you have to put in your for this specific reason of privacy. There's a there's a blurb that you need to put in your apps policy, and that's what it's there for. Any other questions, comments, feedback? Yes.
Is there any extra hint for users, or it doesn't matter how they, I mean,
how they discover it? Yeah. So I don't know if you notice, and this is probably good feedback, that it's not noticeable, like the soft dismiss. But there's a little icon hint that we put in the bottom left of the ad that shows that it's tilt enabled. And so we're hoping that people train.
Sorry, but it's still kind of, I need to know
what tilt means. Yeah, I know. I mean, well, we've looked at multiple models of, you know, kind of slowly animating it just so you can see that there's some behavior, and then hopefully you can tie the two together that it's because I'm tilting. But yeah, we want to establish new norms, and we'll have hints for all the kind of capabilities like the tap to full screen capability with an image gallery, or hints for sensory ads. But those are a lot of fun, and advertisers like it too because they do really compelling stuff with that. And again, you guys would like it because the advertisers pay a high CPM for those experiences.
But that's all wired inside the SDK itself.
Mm-hmm.
You figure out what capabilities the device has.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, the intent is that we can keep churning and iterating on experiences without touching the SDK. So these things are all seamless to you.
And your name is Ian?
Ian. My alias is ianfe@microsoft.com, so you can flame me on the XAML issue. And if you have questions or recommendations, we'd love to hear those. We're still early in the process, so we could shape where we go from here with the solution. Question?
Any thoughts about providing a DirectX?
Yes. Yes. Yes and yes. We will look at that if there's a big enough need for DirectX. Obviously, yeah, I agree, XAML is, and for the same reason, by the way, they do not want you to use XAML. If we see a big enough need for DirectX apps, we'll totally go there with an SDK. Questions? Yeah, that's great feedback. So we are trying to make this SDK a capability. And if you have that, then we can work with the Windows Store to say, okay, the only thing I've changed is this capability, and see if we can streamline that. But that's great feedback. If you don't mind sending me an email on that too. Question in the front. You want to buy it? Yeah. So we're working on a scenario that's called developer as advertiser that will allow you as a developer to create ads for your own app that obviously will run in other apps. And so we're working on that. The text ad you can actually buy if you're an AdCenter customer. You can go and target your own, you know, apps and promote your own app that way. But we're looking to make a scenario where you can take some of the money you make on advertising and reapply that to advertise your own app. And there's some great experiences that we've done that kind of pulls in the store information. So all you give us is your app ID, and we'll create this experience that has all the screenshots from the store and review information in the ad. Question?
I was wondering, and I don't know if this would make any sense or not, but is there a potential maybe to... in the store, after your description, to maybe include a place for an advertisement in that space?
Say that one more time. Where in the store?
Okay, so when your different products, software listed in the store,
mm-hmm.
have a description, details, and reviews, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about if, so what I'm wondering about is, as
at, like, say, at the bottom of the description, would that maybe be a potential place that an advertisement could be included?
For you? For your app? Just in general?
In general.
Yeah. So that'll be a question to the store team. Yeah. Any other questions? One in the back?
Is there any way for the app to provide some sort of context live?
Yeah. That's right. So we have this ad tag API that over time will allow you to provide extra contextual information that can be used both for ad selection but also for customizing the experiences. For example, one of our customers in the weather category wants to pass the weather information to the ad experiences. So for example, that Fiat ad, if they know you're in California and it's sunny, they can pass that to the ad experience to automatically jump to the sunny part. So there is that channel that's open. As we light up experiences, we'll publish the hints that you can provide to these experiences to further optimize. Other questions? Cool. Well, thanks so much for attending this session.